We're continuing on in our Triggered series. Anybody get triggered this last week? I had lots of triggers. Down in California, there's different pollens than we have up here, so my allergies were triggered. There was a forest fire that kicked up while we were there. The smoke triggered some allergy stuff. So I might drink an excessive amount of water today while I deliver the word. Because it was 5 days of lots of conversation, lots of worship being sung, lots of yelling and cheering for our teams and the young men, and lots of other allergy stuff going on. So it was awesome. Push yourself to your limit once in a while. See what you got in the tank. Today we're talking about trigger control. How is your trigger control? Because your trigger control equates at the end of the range how accurate you are. If you just flat, I've been guiding for 25 years. What's close? This wall is close. I have seen elk, which are almost as big as that wall. Okay, not quite, but they have a 2-foot chest cavity. It's big. I have seen elk miss from me to that wall because of lack of trigger control. Because sometimes when we get triggered, we get overexcited, and instead of following through and squeezing gently, we go, ha! And you go, the arrow goes whoop, and the bullet goes boom, and elk runs off, boo, boo. Right? Sorry, I'm doing nursery rhymes now, I guess. I don't know. Loving Jesus is fun. We should have fun in our lives. But what triggers you? There's good triggers, there's bad triggers. And most importantly, it's how we respond to the triggers in our lives or how we control them when things start getting tense and tight. And I go up to AFD and shoot once in a while. And I took this class a while back on trigger control and accuracy. And they really go through the process. And you get in the classroom, you're doing about 1,000 dry fires of feeling and knowing your trigger. And each trigger on each weapon's a little different, from bows to rifles to shotguns to revolvers to semi-autos to fully automatics. I mean, there's different triggers. You have to get intimate with your trigger and know it well. You have to know what triggers you, meaning what's leading up to the trigger in my life. On one of my handguns, it has slack. And then it gets a little bit stiff. And then you pull through the stiffness to the wall. And then it gets really firm. And then if you put about 2 pounds of pressure on the wall, it's going to go boom. But it has almost 3/4 of an inch of travel from point A to fire. And if you just blow through the wall, your bullet's going to hit somewhere on a sheet of plywood. If you get to know your trigger and you walk it through the slack and you walk it to the wall, and at the wall you start counting pounds of 1 pound, 2 pound, 3 pound, 4, boom, your bullet hits where you were aiming. And in the triggers of our life, we want to hit the target like we talked about last week, downrange. The bullseye is God's will and plan for our lives. We want the bullet to land on the mark, because if it gets too far off the paper, we start causing Christian casualties. We start causing unbeliever casualties. And we start leading them away from the truth of what God's word says. Because we're just way off the mark. And if that's who God is, I don't want anything to do with him. That Arby is crazy. There are good crazies. Okay? There's good crazy and there's bad crazy. Have you guys experienced that? Am I the only one? There's got to be a couple other crazy people in here. Just like to have fun. So as you learn the pressure of your trigger, what triggers me in life? Rejection is one of my big triggers. When I start to feel rejected, it makes me want to curl up and run and hide and like leave your presence or room or wherever I'm at. I'm like, it's a real trigger. I don't like to feel rejected. Part of that is my personality. I'm a high I. One of our greatest fears is rejection. Some other personalities, I don't care what you think about me, I'm staying. I'm like, if you don't want me here, I'm leaving. See ya. So I have to work through that trigger and control that response in a moment, in a meeting, in an instance, in a situation, in a conversation. How do I control that? Last fall, I was over on the Salmon River out behind Waha. I dropped in there and took my bird dog, and we were looking for the elusive mountain chuckers, which is really fun if you like pain, heat, suffering, heat, pain. Did I mention pain yet? It's usually a very hard, difficult hike in rough country, at least where I hunt them. And I wanted to go explore new country. I'd never been there before. I got a tip, hey, out this way is a pretty good spot. So I had hiked about 6 miles, and I had had one point. I'd only found one covey of chuckers. I was like, I'm going to drop down into this draw, maybe kick up some grouse or quail. So I drop, which is like a 1,500-foot drop. It's not like getting off the stage. And I drop in there and start working up the bottom of the draw, and all of a sudden my dog goes on point. So a pointing dog, when they smell birds, they are supposed to freeze. And that tells you there's birds in front of them. So I'm like, ooh, we got some birds. I'm excited. And all of a sudden, the brush explodes. And I hear the wing beat, and I can tell they're quail. And I'm shouldering my gun, and I'm pulling up on this one, and I'm just like about a quarter pound from pulling the trigger. When my brain engages and says, mountain quail, which is a federally protected endangered species. So I was about a half to a quarter pound of pressure on my trigger away from creating a federal crime. It can be that way in our lives too. If we know the pressure of our trigger, we don't fully engage until we know the target we're shooting at. If we don't, we just hear the rustle of the leaves and get excited. And guiding bird hunts for the last 18 years, I've seen a lot of, you hear the rustle of the leaves and guys go. They don't even get the gun past, luckily it's in the sky. But they shoot their rounds from the hip up there, and the birds are getting up there because the rustle triggers them into a response. And it's kind of funny to talk about, but some of us get triggered by the rustle and don't wait to identify what's really happening and going on. We don't sit still before the Lord and wait in His presence. Say, God, what's really causing this in me? God, what's really stirring this inside of me? And we wait. And as we're mounting our gun, our spiritual gun, we're looking and identifying clearly, is this a target from the Lord or is this a distraction from the enemy? Is this a target I should be engaging with and shooting or no? And we can get right to that point of pulling that last ounce out of the trigger and releasing and doing things God's way. We're supposed to be that controlled because the Lord gives us this gift. It's a fruit of the Spirit called self-control. You can grow and develop in self-control. I love that the Lord refers to it as a fruit because fruits start as a seed and they turn into a tree and pretty soon they turn into a bud at the end of a branch, and pretty soon a flower that needs pollinated, and pretty soon the fruit comes on. And after a while, that fruit becomes edible and becomes sustenance for life. But you have to work through the process of producing the fruit. You have to water it. You have to have it planted in the right soil. You have to give it time so you can grow and develop in what God has for you. You can grow and develop in the fruit of the Lord. The trigger shouldn't be controlling us we should be controlling the trigger. If the trigger's controlling us, we're going to have casualties. We're not going to represent Christ well. We're going to have some messes to clean up. But if we're controlling the trigger well, we bring glory and honor to God. We lead people to Jesus in all righteousness. Surrender to the Father. What does that look like? We gain trigger control when we surrender to the Father. One simple way to put it is, like, I pray often for people to have peace that surpasses their understanding. I heard it said this weekend and I loved it. Pastor Bill Johnson said it this way: if you want peace that surpasses your understanding, you have to be willing to give up your right to understand. And that was like, if you want peace that surpasses your understanding, you have to be willing to give up your right to understand. But Lord, I just don't get it. So I'm worried. I'm frustrated. I have anxiety. You don't have to get it. His ways are so much higher than ours. His thoughts so much higher than ours. We don't have to have understanding. What we have to have is faith. God, I don't see a way out. I don't see a possibility, but I know you are the God of impossibility. I'm making all things possible. So I'm going to put my faith and trust in you. And I'm going to sit back and not understand. And I'm going to give up my right to understand so that your peace can overwhelm me in this moment of lack of understanding. Because I know you're a good Father. Because I know you're in control. Because I know you got this. Trigger control. God, I'm yielding to you. Do what only you can do. That's getting beyond the physical into the supernatural. God, I need more of your presence in my life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Here it is in the Word of God. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. You and I can do all things. Hear the word of the Lord through Christ who strengthens us. When we yield to him, don't give your trigger more power than Jesus. Don't give your trigger more power than Jesus. Sometimes our triggers are excuse. Well, I just do it because I'm triggered. Nail that trigger to the cross. Jesus paid for it. You still have to surrender. You still have to work through the process. I still have to work through rejection. I still have to deal with that. But when I turn it over to the Father, I say, Lord, it's yours. I don't know why I'm feeling rejected right now. But I know you don't reject me. You don't leave me. You don't forsake me. And I'm going to hang on to that. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Your trigger is just a temptation. It's a temptation to give in to fear. It's a temptation to give in to anxiety. It's a temptation to give in to shame. It's a temptation to give in to whatever your coping mechanism is. What's your coping mechanism? It's a temptation to give in to addiction of drugs, alcohol, porn, abuse, you name it. That's the temptation. There's no new temptation. But God says he will provide for us a way out. We have to choose the way out. Trigger control. Choose the way out. There's a way in and a way out. What will you choose? Number three, God gives us free will. One of the most beautiful and scary things God gives us, free will. What will your free will cost you? Moses in the Bible, who shipped out into the Nile River in a basket as a baby, taken in by Pharaoh's daughter, raised in the house of Pharaoh as a prince of Egypt. One day he's walking through, watching the Israelite slaves build the pyramids or whatever else they were doing for Pharaoh. He sees this Egyptian slave master beating one of the Israelites. He goes over and kills the dude. He's like, oh, probably shouldn't have done that. So he tries to hide it, buries the body. A while later, a couple of Israelites are fighting, and he comes over to say, hey, knock it off. One of the Israelites said, what, you gonna kill us like you did the Egyptian? Moses freaks out a little bit, disappears into the mountains for 40 years. He was triggered by fear. He was triggered by rejection. It caused him to flee. I know God worked some things out in him over those 40 years and did some awesome things. But it cost him 40 years wandering the wilderness in a land not his own because he was triggered and he chose to do his way instead of God's way. Because you see, 40 years later, Moses comes back. It says, Pharaoh, God says, let his people go. And they have, you have to read it. Get into Exodus, read the whole story. But eventually, after the 10 plagues come in, Pharaoh's like, all right, just take your people and go. So they go. And God's way, not one Israelite was harmed. Moses' way, he's going to start killing dudes. There's going to be war and blood in the camp. We have to do things God's way. They begin going across the desert, and they get out there, and pretty soon the people are hungry and thirsty, and God works all these miracles through Moses. And at one point has him strike a rock with his staff. Water begins to flow to bring water to the stock, the people. Moses is a pretty cool guy. A little while later, God doesn't tell Moses to strike the rock, but in his anger he does. It cost him the promised land. Your free will, your actions will cost you. How much are you willing to pay? If we do it God's way, we walk in his promises, in his protection, in his authority, and we get to inherit the promises he has in store for us. Sometimes we disqualify ourselves because we lack trigger control. We disqualify ourselves from the promises of God. You've got to walk in obedience to what God is doing to inherit the promises of God. They're in direct correlation. You cannot live any way you please and expect the promises of God to follow your life. They are tied to obedience and in direct correlation to his will. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 7. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give the devil trigger control. Yeah, devil, you can bring it up. We can talk about it. But that doesn't have power over me anymore because I gave it to Jesus. That's part of my past. He's rewriting my story. That's who I was, not who I'm going to be. Giving God trigger control in your life allows him to write the narrative for your future and not the devil. Walk in obedience to his word and his call on your life. In John chapter 2, verse 13 through 16. Jesus gives us a great example here. John chapter 2, 13 through 16. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." And some of the other gospels, it says, "Because my father's house is the house of prayer." Jesus has trigger control. And some of us would read that and go, "All right, I'm going to get me a whip and start flipping tables." Jesus went in and saw, and then took time to get alone with the Father to make the whip. You don't just make a whip in a hurry. I believe he retracted from the scene, "Father, what would you have me do?" Because sometimes following the will of God looks like driving out and flipping over. Sometimes that's an appropriate response if directed by the Father. There are some things in life that should make you angry and make you rise up and say, "No more will we allow this to happen. No more." We've got to take some hard stances on some things in life that are pleasing to God. But we can't just do it because the Bible said it, and I'm just going to do it every chance I get because I don't agree with you. It's no, "Father, what are you saying for me to do in this moment?" Jesus only did that once, possibly twice, early in his ministry and late maybe. But for sure he did it once. He said, "This isn't right. This isn't appropriate in the house of God." What will you take a stance on and stand for? Flipping tables might be something that needs done in your marriage, in your parenting, in your household, maybe in our church, in our community, in our schools, in our politics. God wants to right the wrongs and restore order as he created and designed. But you have to hear from him. If you remember last week, not just charged by our emotions. Hear from the Lord what he is saying to do. I have this video we're going to show real quick that shows you what trigger control looks like. What a pretty girl. If we have trigger control, we wait until we're on target to pull those last few ounces out of the trigger. And the result at the end, here's a broken clay. But in our spiritual life, the result at the end is hitting the mark that God called us to. Hitting the conversation that God asked us to have. Making the phone call that God asked us to make. Sending the email God asked us to make. Extending forgiveness to an individual that God asked us to extend forgiveness to. Extending love to the unlovable that God asked us to send it to. And with the shotgun, if you shoot too early, your pattern's really tight and small. So your margin of error is very minimal. But depending on what choke and what round and what gun you have, and there's a whole lot going on there. But there's a sweet spot for every round and every gun and every choke. And when you find that sweet spot where it's at, you'll break birds consistently over and over. And there's a sweet spot with the Holy Spirit. When we get in tune with what he's doing and what he's saying and what he's asking of us. And then we begin hitting the target over and over and over. And when my daughter was shooting there, there were some teenage boys there also and some other people. And they were like, "Well, we expected you to hit one or two because like you're Arby's daughter, but We didn't think you'd hit 18 out of 20. But when you get in tune with the Holy Spirit, you will surprise people. You will surprise yourself. I hope you've had these moments. I have, where I like, did I really just say that to them? Like, where did that come from? Obviously, it wasn't me. I hope you have those moments to where you surprise yourself and go, wow, I must be hearing from the Lord, because there's no way I would have came up with that on my own. If we seek God and give him control of our lives, we can tap into supernatural resources that we know not of, and we don't have to understand them, but we can walk in them. We can say, whatever you want, Lord, bring it. In business and ingenuity and creativity, in praying for others and interceding for others, in leading people to Christ, God can give us the most. We should be the most creative and ingenuitive people on the earth as sons and daughters of the Most High. We should be the wisest and bring the best counsel. They should seek us first, because the answers aren't ours, because the plans aren't ours, because the ideas aren't ours. They're the Lord's, and they are better, and they are wiser. The difference between an amateur and a professional. An amateur does it until he gets it right. A professional does it until he can't get it wrong. We need to stop being amateur Christians. We need to be professional Christians. You can probably ask my wife, and she'd say, he used to be an amateur husband. Now he's a pro. Well, okay, I'm probably not a pro yet, but I'm striving for it. I used to occasionally get things right once in a while, but I screwed up a lot of stuff. I controlled the own trigger of my life. I was controlled by emotions and feelings. I was let triggers control me, rather. But I would like to say I'm doing a lot better today, and maybe 80% of the time. 72? 90? Yes. Or was that a 99? Did you do that twice? Oh, it was just a 90. 90% of the time I'm getting it right. I'm progressing, which our walk with God should be progressive and moving. Getting saved isn't a landing point, it's a starting point. It's where we start our journey and begin to progress through our knowledge of our Lord and Savior and who he is and what we're supposed to do for him. And we get engaged with the will and plan of God instead of inviting God to get engaged with our plan and will. But we move from that to, God, what are you doing? I want to be about the Father's business. And I want to be triggered by what triggers you. And I want to be moved by what moves you. And we grow and develop until we become that professional, proficient in the ways of the Lord, hitting the target again and again and again. And we're doing a lot more good than harm. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands. How do we do the will of the Lord? I don't know. Pretty simple right there. If you love me, keep my commands. That's a really good starting point. Man, if I can just keep the commands of God every day, I'm going to give myself an A+. If we can do that 100% of the time, become proficient in it, we can help a lot more people. Become a professional at doing the will of God, at showing him you love him by following his commands. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. This verse scares me. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Was that all three of them? There we go. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. That's kind of a scary verse. You prophesied in his name. You did miracles in his name. You healed people in his name. He says, I never knew you. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. This isn't talking to the world. This is talking to the church. Don't be complacent with being an amateur believer in who Christ Jesus is. We can look like we're doing the will of God. We can look like we're engaged in relationship with God, but are we? That race that Dan was talking about a minute ago is kind of cool because that's what I'm closing with. But in that race, there were a bunch of the fathers like, I'm going to run with you. I'm going to go, son. I'm going to run the race with you. And then they get to the first mud hole and they're like, but I don't want to get muddy. So they would run around the edge of the obstacles or the mud holes and then get back in the race and keep going with them, which was cool too. But at the end of the race, it looked like they were all running. And at the end of the race, Dan and I were kind of bringing up the tail behind the last two guys with some other guys. And like some people were cheering us on, like thought we were in the race. Like, you got this, you got this. And we're like, you know, we're the chaperones really. But it looked as if we were in the race. And for some of us in our spiritual walk, this is what it looks like. It looks like we're in the race. And I would show you my medal today, but I didn't get one. Because I didn't really complete the race. I just kind of looked like I was in the race because I was running the course to get back around to where I needed to go, the end. It wasn't that I was in the race, fully engaged, and I wasn't muddy and sloppy and messy like the guys who were really in the race. But sometimes we kind of look like we're in the race. And then we get to the end and we find this passage. Lord, Lord, did we not? I don't know you. Don't be a fake Christian. Get all in. God invites us to all that he has in store. All power and authority that God the Father left to him, he transferred to us, his followers, his disciples. Said, go forth into all the world, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. That's what we, believers in Christ Jesus, not we pastors, but believers in Christ Jesus, all are called to. At some level, shape, or form. Sometimes it isn't distinguishing between good and evil. It's distinguishing between good and almost good. Good and evil is easy. That's right, that's wrong, that's good, that's bad, that pleased God. But good and almost good? Where are we skating on that line? God, I want to fully please you. I want to fully know you. I want to fully experience what you have in store. I'll close with this. Those racers, they're running. There was one kid out front. He was a junior high kid, but he was blowing the doors off everybody but one. You could tell he had trained, and he does this at other areas of his life. And you got him and this lead guy who come through, and then it's like minutes before even the next group of kids come through. And they all started at the same time. I think the junior high kids got a two-minute head start maybe. But there's 100 young men running through this. And they're dragging and straggling along. And as they're coming through the course, I'm just praying over them and watching the interactions. And of course, that lead kid is like, his mission is, I'm winning this thing. I'm taking, this guy's twice my size, but I'm beating him. He was racing. I believe the other kid was a high schooler. He was a foot and a half taller. The other guy's only this big. But you can see the determination in his eyes. I'm winning this race. And then there were some other kids, there was a big herd of them that came through, about 20 in a pack. And they were like, we're running this race together. And they would get to the end of the obstacle and stand up there. Come on, come on, you got it, come on. And sometimes that's our job in the race. And then that lead kid that won the race, he comes back around to find the last racer to finish with him. He doesn't just gloat and celebrate in his accomplishment, but he comes back to support the last racer and finishes the race in with him. What a beautiful picture of what we're supposed to do in the spiritual. Don't just finish your race, help others finish their race. And these two young men at the end, I mean, they were struggling. It was real. We're like, we think you're halfway. We haven't run the course, so we don't really know. And they were bogged down, and they were muddy, and they were soaking wet, and like Dan said, puking guts out. But they pushed through. They endured. And even that last young man right there, his name's Stephen. All these young men who had already crossed the line already got their reward. You can see their medals. They're up there just, Stephen, Stephen, Stephen. And they're cheering him on. And at this point, his legs lock up. He's got cramps the size of softballs in his muscles. And like Dan said, you could see that fear and terror in his eyes. If I'm not going to finish, I'm not going to make it. How do I ask for help? And then the whole tribe rallied around him like, we got you, brother. And they grabbed him by his arms and grabbed him by his legs. And from this point, it was probably only 50 or 60 feet to the finish line. He was close. He had to get over that little dirt mound and walk across gravel. Sometimes we get in it so deep, we can't move another step. And we need our brothers and sisters around us to rally. Say, I know you can't do it, but you're not going to do it alone. We're going to walk with you. We're going to carry you. We're going to show up for you. You can just sit with people. You don't have to talk to them. You can just show up and be there. You can bring a meal. You can clean their house. You can mow their lawn. It doesn't have to be a conversation. Just show up in people's lives. Fathers, show up. Mothers, show up. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, show up. Keep showing up. No matter what it takes. I finished my race for the day. I'm good. Take another lap. Help somebody out who's struggling, who doesn't have real good trigger control yet. Because it can be trained, it can be learned, it takes practice. If I go up to the shooting range and spend a 2 or 4 hour course, I'm 10 times better by the time I leave than when I showed up. And if I would go weekly or monthly, I'd be a lot better, but once or twice a year, just I get good for a day. But in our spiritual walk, we should show up daily in the presence of the Lord. Lord, what do you want to work out in me? Lord, what do you want to download in me? Lord, who would you show me to go and minister to today? Who needs a touch? Who needs a word? Who needs maybe just intercession and prayer? And I'm not even going to talk to him physically. I'm going to send your Holy Spirit. Boy, show up. When you see a brother or sister struggling, give them that call. Send them that note. How you doing? What's going on? What can I do for you? Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, that you always show up. God, you never abandon. You never leave. You never forsake. But God, you are so loving and so kind. God, you always show up. God, you have our best future, our best hope, our best plan in mind. You have gone before us and made a way where there seems to be no way. Father, I just ask you administer to those gathered here today. God, that as you reveal the triggers of their life, God, that you would give them the proper process. God, in managing and controlling those triggers according to the power of your Holy Spirit within them. God, that those triggers would no longer control them, but they would control the triggers. God, that they would aim accurately at what you would have them aim at. God, that their story would become their testimony. God, their past would become their testimony. God, that it would not bind them or hold them, that it would not distract them, that it would not push them off course, but God, that they would hit the mark that you have set before them. God, bringing you glory and honor. Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Anybody want to go shooting this afternoon? Okay. Got three people in the back. Let's go. Oh, I only wish I had time to do that today. That's a good Father's Day ritual. Go shoot stuff. That is legal. That is legal, okay. Like, I was thinking targets. Bear season's still open in most units around here. Oh, yes, our water. I'm triggered. I see water on the paper. Our water. We had some well issues this past week, so the water went down. It's back on. But we want to get it tested, make sure it's all safe for drinking and up to code and everything's good there, so... No drinking water. There are, of course, the pitchers in back you probably saw. So if you're doing groups here throughout the week, just remember to bring your own water. There's some water in the kitchen if you forget, but if you could bring your own water to build coffee or just for drinking. Everything is working water-wise. Just don't drink it until hopefully by Wednesday we'll know. Get that test back. And in Jesus' name, it's going to be good, and we'll be drinking water by Wednesday. Amen. And the well driller did say in the local area, within a mile of here, there have been about 6 wells go dry in the last year and a half. So if in your prayer time you would say, Lord, fill the well and keep it full with good, fresh, clean water in Jesus' name, we'll take those prayers too because we don't want to join that crowd. Somebody's attacking me.
Let's actually, as a church, let's stretch out our hands. We want to pray over this right now. Yes, Lord, we just declare right now springs of living water pouring into this well, flowing out from this well. Lord, whatever has been going on in here right now, we just come against it in the name of Jesus. We say, enemy, you have no place. Let your water flow and fill us up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. If you want to get in your folder, you have a Connect card in there. If you want to fill that out for us, front side's general information, back side, my decisions today, next steps, information I'm curious about, and please pray for me. Also in that pray for me, if you have any testimonies, we'd love to hear what God's doing in your life, what's going on, prayers that he's answered that we've been praying for. And if you would drop that in the offering basket when it comes by in a moment. There's also an offering envelope in there, a Bible reading plan bookmark, and the monthly calendar. If you want to take those things out, use them, leave your folder in your seat, and we'll reload it and have it ready for you next week. I'm going to invite the ushers to come, and we'll say a blessing over the offering. Many years ago, when baby Jesus was born, all the animals were gathered in the manger. The donkey is there, and he says, I will carry him. The cow is there, and she says, I'll give him something to drink. The chicken is there and says, I'll give him eggs for breakfast. The duck is there, saying, I'll give him feathers for a pillow. The pig is there and says, I'll let him cast demons into me, and I'll jump off a cliff into the sea. Wait, what? I thought it was funny. Some of you will get that later when you go home and read the passage in the Bible about Jesus doing that. But you know it's good to laugh? Laughter is good medicine. We You should laugh at yourself, laugh at others. Turn to your neighbor. No, don't. That's probably not appropriate right now. But we should laugh. The joy of the Lord should be our strength. And joy doesn't look like baptizing pickle juice. Joy looks like we're having a good time and we haven't had a drink. We haven't snorted anything. We haven't smoked anything. We're just having a good time loving Jesus because he is good and he is enough. Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, for your blessing, for your provision in our lives. God, we ask you to bless those who give cheerfully, God, according to your word, not out of compulsion, but God, out of their love and devotion to you. God, we ask you to bless that which is given, that it would be multiplied to the use of your kingdom. God, in all the ministries we get to support and serve around the world. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you want to gather the offering, drop your Connect card in there as well. Don't forget, next Sunday, the Apples of Gold ladies are going to be doing their fundraiser right out front of the church. So they're going to have all kinds of fun bunny business, was it? If you weren't here last week, you won't get that. They have lots of fun crafts and arts that they're going to be selling out there, raising some funds for the ministry they're doing with the Apples of Gold, the older women training and teaching the younger women. It's going to be pretty awesome. So I'm excited for that. So ladies, enjoy. Let me invite the prayer team forward. If you have any prayer needs today, maybe just the message was triggering for you. Maybe just hearing that word is triggering for you. But the Lord gives us the ability through the power of his Holy Spirit to grow and develop and mature, and we don't have to stay where we are. Anybody in here say, I'm thankful I'm not where I was 5 years ago. Thankful I'm not where I was 10 years ago. I'm thankful I'm not where I was last week. Oh, I'm the only one for that one. Oh, okay, I thought at least Dan would raise his hand for last week. Yeah, lots of hands up. All right. We should be growing and developing. It should be increasing in favor of the Lord and man because we're serving the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory. But we have to intentionally engage in that. We have to participate with that. So if you have any needs today, whether it's physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, financial, come forward and get prayer. Say, man, I want to get some more trigger control in my life. I want to start hitting the targets God has set before me. I'm tired of missing the mark. I'm tired of falling short. If you feel that, don't feel shame about it because we all have fallen short of the glory of God. And it is because of Jesus and his work on the cross that we can be made whole and righteous. There's no shame in that. We've all been there. But there is shame in quitting and not trying again. Just keep getting back up. Keep moving forward. Father, we thank you, God, that you meet us where we are. And God, that you have plans to take us higher in you, in relationship, in life. God, that your ways are so much higher than ours. Your thoughts, your ideas are so much higher than ours. God, open our hearts, open our minds to receive what you would have for us in the truth of your word, in the ministering of our brothers and sisters around us, God, that we would be open. God, that we would yield ourselves to you. God, that we would grow and develop into the men and women that you've created us to be. God, that we would begin hitting those marks, those targets you've set before us. God, with precision, accuracy, as we tune our ears to your command. Father, we thank you that you have chosen, God, to invite us into the work you're doing here on this earth. Father, we give you all praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Happy Father's Day. Gentlemen here online, viewing, listening, we love you guys. Have an amazing day. We'll see you next week. Come forward, get prayer.